Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Tuesday, March 15, 2022, and today we are reading the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the foreword to the second edition, page XX. At the first paragraph, starting with another reason for wide acceptance, going through two paragraphs, ending in with men of medicine as well as men of religion, unpacking those two paragraphs only. Today's readers are, and thanks everyone for Team Tuesday, Crystal P., Dara L., Sally P., Layla L., Mary Lou G., our newcomer greeter, Terry C., announcements, Janice P.M., and our host for the second unrecorded hour, Esther C. The reference numbers, which for yesterday, March 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 18,677, that's 18677, and for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time yesterday, 18,678. That's 18678. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Layla L. to read the 12 steps. Go ahead, Layla.
Good morning. This is Layla L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Nampa, Idaho. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Layla. Okay, I will now ask for Mary Lou G. to read the 12 traditions. Go ahead, Mary Lou.
Good morning. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsively eating. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service today.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in the foreword to the second edition, page XX, first paragraph, going through two paragraphs. And I am now going to ask Crystal P. to get us started. Go ahead, Crystal.
Good morning. This is Crystal P., recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Another reason for the wide acceptance of AA was the ministration of friends in medicine, religion, and the press, together with innumerable others who became our able and persistent advocates. Without such support, AA could have made only the slowest progress. Some of the recommendations of AA's early medical and religious friends will be found further on in this book. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. Neither does AA take any particular medical point of view, though we cooperate widely with the men of medicine as well as with the men of religion. Good morning. This is Crystal P., recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. When I read these two paragraphs, I think what really stands out to me is the reason that I get to have these 12 steps today, the reason I get to recover is because Bill and Bob, they didn't just, you know, talk about the steps, read about the steps, study the steps. They actually lived the steps. They actually applied it to every aspect of their being. Because if I had an idea, like the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I felt like, oh my gosh, this program's really going to work, we can make this big, I'd be driving and orchestrating and trying to convince everybody and their cat that this is the best thing ever and you need to get on board. And how can you have any, you know, doubts about this? And I need you to do this. And I'd be directing everything. But what they say here is that they did their part and then they let God unfold, let everything unfold the way God wanted. It says, you know, that without our friends in medicine and religion and the press, nothing we could have done could have made AA grow the way that it needed to. So God needed to step in and bring other people in order for that to happen. And for that to happen, they needed to step aside and let God do that. I need to step aside and let God do the work that God does. And the second thing is, they weren't fighting anyone or anything. They weren't debating anyone or anything. They weren't difficult to work with. So these people in medicine and religion and the press, they were cooperating with them so they could work with them. They could help them. And I think for me, when I stop fighting and debating, that's because I'm applying these principles to every aspect of my being. Because when I don't, my instinct is to fight. My instinct is to protect myself. My instinct is to convince others and have them, you know, conform to exactly the way I think they should be so I can feel safe, so the outcome will look the way I want it to look. But what I see here is that the early people in AA, they really practice these 12 steps, even in areas that it may have been really hard to, even when they're really excited about something. They let God take the lead. They let God drive everything, and they didn't orchestrate it all themselves. And because of this, I get to have this book and this recovery and these instructions and the steps. Thanks for letting me share my talk.
Thank you so much, Crystal P. Okay, so although we value your experience, strength, and hope, if you've shared on either Monday or Friday, we'd love to hear from others share their experience and strength and hope as well. So if you'd like to give me your first name and first initial of your last name, who would like to share
Dara.
It with Red?
Sorry, Dara L.
Sorry. Go ahead, Dara. No problem.
Barbara E.
Nessa.
Teresa
S-R.
P.
Teresa P. Anybody else?
Barbara G.
Barbara G. Okie dokie. Going once, going twice. Anyone else? All right, great group to start with. Dara L, Barbara E, Nessa R, Teresa P, and Barbara G. Go ahead, Dara L. It's your turn to step up to the mic.
Oh, gosh, thanks so much. Sorry for my impatience. Guess I'm not
oh,
all that
no
recovered. Okay, so I'm Dara L. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Philadelphia. And I love this paragraph about how friends become our able and persistent advocates. And when I think about that, though, for me, it's really important to think about, like, the why. Like, why would people who really have nothing to do with AA be so willing to champion it? And I think a lot of that understanding really has to come from the paragraph before. It's because they saw the success. You know, they saw that people were coming in to the rooms of AA and they were getting better. You know, the light was coming back on inside of them. And, you know, and I think about how, you know, my own particular experience with a lot of people who told me about OA was that they were not especially, like, full of light and joy and laughter and, you know, not especially sober consistently, you know, and the message I got was like, keep coming back, you know, just like if you're reducing your binge frequency, you know, like you'll be happy or something. And it didn't really gel for me. And this week I actually had my nutritionist, sent me the name of someone, and I spoke to her, you know, because she's really struggling. And I think the only reason that my dietitian, who's not associated with OA, would do that is because she sees something in me that is beautiful, that, like, can really only come from entire abstinence and the working of the 12 steps. And I just wanted to share, there was a study done in Baltimore on 200 addicts a couple years ago, and they looked at, you know, the success rates of addicts recovering, and 20% of those who had a sponsor, you know, put down their substance and stayed, you know, dry, and 20% of those who did not have a sponsor put down their substance and stayed dry, but 75% of those who sponsored put down their substance and stayed recovered. And I think, you know, that really That is what the big book is telling us in terms of like who really tries and how to be the message and how to get other people from outside of program to be really excited, is to be willing to be entirely abstinent, to do the work, to be lit up from the inside, and then to be an example, you know, for people both in and out of this program. So I'm so lucky that I get to come to a place where that message is being spoken, and I really hope that I can be that example. Mostly for people outside of OA, because, you know, I think sometimes this world is pretty broken, and I'm grateful that I have a spiritual discipline that really works, you know, one day at a time if I continue to show up and do it. Anyways, I'll pass, and thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Dara. All right, Barbara E., it's your turn. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for your cheerful attitude. I love the cheer with which our people speak each day and their positivity rather than negativity. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but AA really was the only group that worked back then. Nothing else worked, and it had the endorsement, as was beautifully read by scientific people and the community, the newspapers, the radios. People started just talking about AA. But when I went to my doctor, and I was morbidly obese, and he gave me all these dire warnings, I said, well, I joined a new group called OA. And he said, what is OA? I've never heard of it. And I said, well, have you heard of AA? Oh, sure. How about NA? Yeah, I've heard of that one too. And GA? You betcha. And I said, well, this is OA, Overeaters Anonymous. It's for people who have a disease just like they do. And we need help with it. And the big book of AA is what gave me the help, because today, not today, the ninth, whenever the ninth was my 25th anniversary of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm so grateful that I got to hear the wisdom. I got to hear it anyway. It was just luck that my neighbor said, oh, I'm starting a new diet. You want to come with me? It's a new diet. Well, it wasn't just a diet, as you and I know. But she said, I'm not staying. She was appalled that I thought I would stay and listen and learn about the three-legged stool. But getting back to those doctors, I left pamphlets for the doctors. There are such pamphlets for the medical community. Not one of his patients has ever called me in all the years. So we have to be the example. I'm not afraid to talk about it. When someone says to me, Barbara, how'd you lose all that weight? I explain in great depth without going into the spiritual principle, because that can come in later. But I had to learn about the three-legged stool from my sponsor, and I had to do all the tools, every tool. And when she said jump, I said how high. And then I had to learn about the steps. Thank you. Because the steps, as we know, keep me from keeping suicide with my knife and fork and spoon. And the traditions keep me from keeping homicide on you and the rest of the world. And that's all I've got to say. Let's be the message. Let's pass it on. And maybe someone besides Ann Landers will write about us tomorrow. So be the message. Have a beautiful, beautiful day.
Thank you, Barbara. Nessa R., followed by Teresa P. Go ahead, Nessa. It's your turn.
Thank you. Good morning. Vision from you. This is Nessa R., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I'm going to go about this in a completely different direction, because what stood out to me was the concept of cooperation, which I have only discovered in recovery. In the past, my idea of cooperation which by the way means, a common effort working towards a common benefit. My idea of cooperation was, I lead, you follow, you do what I tell you to do. I know better, so I'm the boss. And, I trampled on a lot of egos and I stepped on a lot of toes. It didn't serve me well professionally. And it was also, a huge irritant is probably an understatement in my own personal relationship with my family and with my friends. The beauty of this program is that, through the working of the 12 steps in entire abstinence, God affects in us a transformation where the recovered person is totally different and unrecognizable from the unrecovered person that I used to be. Now I'm able to work with people in harmony where I am not the leader. I mean, it's easy for me to be harmonious when everybody's doing what I tell them to do. But when I have to set aside my ego and even my knowledge and just submit to somebody else's plan, that is a gift that I discovered only in recovery. And, I'm saying it, I don't do it begrudgingly. Oh, well, I know better, but because you're the leader, I'm going to do it. No, I do it happily. Just tell me what to do. It's actually, one of my favorite phrases or sentences. Not that just tell me what to do or give me what to do. And I just go do it. And I don't have to be first and foremost every time and in everything. And oh my gosh, that just takes such a load off my back. It's a lot of pressure to be the one with the most knowledge and to be the leader and to be the boss and, the anxiety that produces that, And, it's just so much nicer. To get along, and be viewed as helpful as opposed to, bossy. Like my husband used to tell me, you are so bossy. Sometimes he still says that, but a lot less by the grace of God. This is the real price. I mean, the food being in its place, it's certainly amazing, but being able to get along and be noticed for that, that's the real price. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nessa. Okay, Teresa P., followed by Barbara G.
Hi, I'm Teresa P., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And it's wonderful to hear another great passage in the big book. And I always learn so much, and I just get to realize that, I just get to suit up and show up and see what God has to say this morning and what I get to hear other people say. And I truly believe that, God speaks, through the pages of the big book and the people who share on it. And my job is to, listen and see what gets revealed to me. And I like that cooperation. I have never been good on cooperation. Now I'm really good. Oh, I'll take that back. I'm not really good at following orders, come to think of it. I never learned how to, work and be a part of other people. I learned how to hide out, try to please people, try to manipulate, try to protect myself, always relying on myself. And, what I wanted, what I thought I needed to do or what needed to happen. But not knowing how, how to listen to another person, just to hear what they had to say, to see what, to see actually what they were saying. I mean, I would be thinking in my head all these scenarios would be going on. Oh, this is happening, this is going to happen or whatever. And just to stop and go, what is the person saying? And I got a chance to do that yesterday, and it was so hard. I'm married for 51 years, same man, and I know he loves me, but we have I have all these challenges, he's himself. I have all these challenges, and he just wanted to to go to the cash out place. And I saw this thing, and I wanted to, oh, but we need this. And he said, I just want to go. So I actually had to stop. I mean, I'm like almost shaking here. I got my hand on it. I go, okay. And when I got to communicate, I go, I'm trying to hear what you have to say. Okay, you're saying you want to go. Okay, I'm trying to move up. I mean, it was painful, just painful. And you know what? It's okay. I just get to learn. And sometimes learning is hard. And I get to let go of all these things that I think I need and just listen and, you know, to what another person is saying. He wasn't asking me to jump off a cliff. He was just saying he needed to go. And to honor that, and he was so happy after. We actually stayed and looked at that item, but it was so wonderful just to listen to what somebody else. Thank you for letting me share an iPad.
Thank you so much, Teresa P. And before we go to our next speaker, just want to do a friendly reminder that we are on the forward to the second edition, page XX, going through the first two paragraphs. Okay, Barbara G., you're up.
Yes, hi, my name is Barbara G., and I'm calling from Paris, France. And I'm really enjoying the paragraphs this morning and the shares. And I'm constantly thinking of how these people, this AA, could come to the point of widely accepting administration of friends, you know, advice, presence, suggestions, etc., etc. And I was thinking about that because I was thinking on how I arrived at a certain point to a state of open-mindedness in reference to, you know, receiving help, basically. And the answer that I'm giving myself, it's that it all started when I decided to put the food down. Because this open-mindedness and this possibility to cooperate with others were out of question for me until the food was in my system. Because until the food was in my system, I didn't need anybody else and nothing else and anyone else. And so it's a very good, it's humbling today for me, these paragraphs, because it actually makes me realize that the fact that today asking for help is easy for me is only the result of a practice that has come one day at a time. But after that, I have asked for help because I did not know how to solve my problem with food. And it's only when I became willing to accept the help I was given, specifically onto this line, and to do exactly what I was told to do, to put the food down entirely, that something opened in my heart and mind, and the light came in, and I became available to ask for help on other things, because I definitely needed it, because there was no longer the food to rule my life and to be my God. And so it's humbling. It's with gratitude that I shared this with you today. And yes, I depend a lot on the help I received by my friends inside and outside rooms today, because I know that I can't do this alone. And I feel particularly grateful today for this. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara. Okay, so we're going to take a new round of folks that would like to share on what was read. Who would like to go ahead?
Leah S.
This is Larry K.
Leah S. Larry. Anybody else?
I have Leah S., Larry K. Who else would like to challenge
Amy
in?
L.
Amy L. Anybody else? All righty then.
Kathy
we
J.
We will keep rolling. Oh, I'm sorry. Who is that?
Kathy J.
Kathy J.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
Heidi L. from Toronto.
I think I just need to keep talking and then people will come in. Okay. Heidi L. from Toronto. Okay. Who else? Okay, we'll go with this group. All right, Leah S., Larry K., Amy L., Kathy J., Heidi L. All righty. Go ahead, Leah. It's your turn. Step on up. Leah, star one to unmute, please.
Are you there? I'm talking away. Okay, thank you once more. Thank you, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. So, what this reminds me is that this program is a program of attraction rather than promotion. But the truth is they both go together. We promote and we attract. And how do we do that? The thing is, I'm not doing it. I'm just doing what my program is telling me. I'm following these steps and trying to maintain that tranquility and that happiness that comes out of acceptance. You know, being accepted in these rooms, being accepted and not judged all around, and automatically makes me also just accept and you know, we're all human beings. We all have this common disease in common, and that's all we're trying to get out of. We're not here to philosophize. We're not here to do judgments. We're not here to anything, and that's what's so marvelous about this. That's what brings us all together, and that's what keeps us all together. And, okay, with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. Larry K., it's your turn. Go ahead.
Amy G. Hey, Amy. Good morning. It's Larry K., recovered from Chicago. We owe a debt of gratitude to a bunch of early friends of AA. And even if you look in the book and you look in the table of contents, the appendices, it gives the beyond the spiritual experience. So like from page 569, it gives the medical view on AA, 572, the religious view on AA. You can read about some of the individuals. There were so many, and this was at a time when adoption of this spiritual program of action, with some tinges early on of religion, for sure, right? We come from the Oxford group, you know. There was some of that. That was, for them to step out there, was it took a lot of courage for a lot of these people. But you know what it was? These non-alcoholics in the press, religion, medicine, they saw that it worked. And alcohol was running rampant. I mean, it was killing their own family members. In many cases of these people, so we owe a debt of gratitude, and because of these friends in medicine and religion and many other advocates, you know, of what we're doing, even today, the vast majority today of doctors, psychologists, member of various clergy that are familiar with AA, even all experts in alcoholism, non-alcoholics, they make AA their number one choice for a long-term a program of recovery. I have friends that are doctors, don't know the first thing really about alcoholism. They just know that people still drop off from it and they can't help them. So the AA of 2022, it's huge, and OA is growing too, and it's increasingly international, we read. It's multi-ethnic. We need to do a better job there. It's multiracial. It cuts across all social classes. And, you know, what strikes me with AA is courts, you know this, they send thousands of offenders to AA meetings instead of to jail. So they accept it. The 12-step program catches on with the unwilling, you know, and perhaps with OA as well, right, in a different context. And it's not a, you know, they're not a temperance organization. It's not a prohibitionist society. You know, the AA doesn't want to, you know, save the world from gin, and it doesn't want to save the world from chocolate, right? That's not what we're doing here. And it's not a religious cult, not to me. Some members are agnostics. They're atheists. They're welcome here. Many choose to believe in a higher power of their AA group. You know, that's fine. But what an incredible thing that we have this practical program of spiritual action that allows us to get well. There's no better deal in town. No better deal for me. All right. That's enough for me, Amy. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Larry. Okay. Amy L., you're up.
Good morning, Amy. This is Amy L., Amy with two E's from Michigan. I wasn't going to share today. I was just going to listen. And as I cleaned my kitchen and got ready for my day, but I had a really long talk with my higher power this morning during my meditation and prayer, and just really thought him a lot in regards to what's going on. I noticed that sometimes when I'm in this program for a long time, I get self-reliant. I think I figured it out. I think I know what's going on. And when I do that, I have a tendency to fall. Even though I'm recovered and I have not gone on my binge foods or anything like that, I constantly need to check myself. And today was one of those days where I needed to check myself. And I needed to say, Amy, who are you really relying on? Are you relying on yourself, or are you relying on God? And what I found myself lately doing is relying on myself. Yep, I'm still going to meetings. I'm checking that box and making sure I'm doing that. I'm reading my Bible every day. Yep, checking that. I'm praying every day and everything like that. But if I'm not really doing everything that I need to do and living by my higher power alone, then where am I really? I will never have full and complete recovery if I allow myself to live on my own needs, wants, and everything. So I'm just putting myself out there and saying, I'm here. I, you know, even though I am recovered, there are times where I don't feel like, you know, I have this, you know, I feel like I have this, which is when I'm really in trouble, but I am staying abstinent. I am seeking my higher power. Today I'm going to make a ton of calls and do some 10 steps because obviously I need to do them. I don't know. I have a tendency to hold on to them, but I'm just grateful for all of you and everybody here for saving my life every day and for days like this, where I just know that I'm not enough and I need everybody. I need you. I need God's presence in my life every single day to stay abstinent. And I just thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Amy. Okay, Kathy J., it's your turn, followed by Heidi L.
Hi, Kathy J. in Illinois, recovered compulsive overeater. These paragraphs, this book saved my real life. Some sobered up, some showed improvement, and others said it wasn't for them. That's why it's so important that when we're recovered, why we stay recovered, because and in the book and in the fellowship and steps, because it also says people returned as time passed, and that's important because there are a lot of people that I find personally in OA who we're all at different variations of being in the middle and being on the edge, and I don't want to be on the edge anymore. But the thing about this thing about friends of OA and AA, there are friends of OA too, it's about what they saw as results that these medical people and spiritual people, religious people backed AA, they saw people were different. And it was through total abstinence and the work and the changing of who we were that made them so convinced that they would put their reputations at risk. And without the medical part of the physical abnormality to certain foods that that is identified, there's too much guilt and thinking it's our fault, and that's self-reliance right there. And so I had to put it down, and face the truth that I wasn't like normal eaters, and look at what normal eaters are, and then say, boy, that sure doesn't match who I am. And then I had to say, okay, I give up completely. And I want to be in the middle. I want to be recovered and clean and connected to a higher power and others in the program, rather than on the perimeter and convincing myself that it's okay to eat that. And then you get close to the edge and close to the edge. So, yeah, I relapse that way, you know, living on the edge, saying if certain foods were okay that weren't okay. And the medical community has really supported the physical, and the religious has supported the steps. You know, these guys are good. These people in the beginning were good-natured. They were principled people, and they were selfless, you know, and that impressed me. You know, and that's what I want, God-centered, selfless, more honest, courageous. I can be those things. I can be those things with your help and the help of the rest of the program. So some made progress. That's good. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much, Kathy J. Again, friendly reminder, we are on the forward to the second edition, page XX, first two paragraphs is what we'll be reading from. And Heidi, we're going to go ahead and go with you. Please go ahead.
Hi there. My name is Heidi L. I am a compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. And I just wanted to say to you, all 400 and something of you, that I am grateful to each and every one of you. I'm entering year 3 of abstinence. I used to hear people say, God struck me abstinent, and I used to just sort of cringe. But God did strike me abstinent on March 1st of 2019. And who, no, 2020, March 1st, 2020. And who knew that that was going to be the time when my relapse finally ended? I had many first days after my relapse. And my relapse was a very long, long, slippery, messy, compulsive, and full of self-will kind of slippery slope. And then I had full relapse, and then God struck me abstinent. But I'm also going to say that I had a food dream last night. And that's just the way it is. I dreamt that I was eating, and there you go. And then I woke up. And I came to the meeting, and I really like to come to this meeting on time. So I did, and I'm here, and I shared, and I say thank you to all of you. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Heidi. Okay, so who else would like to share what was read? We've got a little bit less, about 10 minutes, so we'll take a few.
Sarah R. from New York.
Sarah? Gotcha. Take about two or three more. Anybody else?
Shaukia J.
I'm sorry, what was that, J? Somebody J?
Shaukia J. S-J-O-U-K-J-E.
Shaukia. Okay. Anyone else?
Francois C.
Somebody C?
Yes, Francois.
Sunflaws?
Yeah, close enough.
Sorry. For some reason, I'm not getting first names, but we'll go with those three here. Try not to butcher it too badly. Sarah R., Chakia J., and Sunflower C. Go ahead, Sarah. You're up. Let's not waste any more time. Step up to the mic.
So those won't butcher my name. It's S-A-R-A-H-R from New York. Good morning, everybody. I'm Sarah from New York, compulsive overeater, undereater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. A program of attraction rather than promotion, right? Self-reliance. It's so interesting. The more I'm in the program, you know, someday, it's funny, I come on the line and I hear, oh, this person identifies as being recovered, right? And it's always a matter of, okay, how much, I'm a numbers and operations person, how much by when do I need to do to be recovered? And some days I, you know, wake up and I feel recovered. And it's interesting because on a day like today when I slept 5 hours and there's so many things that I have to take care of, I know that I'm not like other normal people. I know that if I don't live in the solution / higher power, I will not have a manageable day and everyone around me will not have at all. You know, it's just chaos and mayhem. So on days like today, I wake up and it's going to be, and it becomes a great day because all I do is live, breathe higher power. It's so interesting because on other days when I sleep very well and it is a good day, then I'm not. I'm like, okay, there we go. I've made it. Congratulations, Sarah. You are recovered. So I don't necessarily reach out to the higher power as much. And it's interesting because, you know, prior to entering program, it would just be bad days and quote unquote good days. But now, if I'm not living completely in the solution, and then I become self-reliant, then I'm right back at it. And it's such a, like, an interesting, you know, it makes me mind blown. So, you know, self-reliance is kind of what brings me right back, like a full 180. And then good days, doing well, right back. And I'm not even talking about being in the food, right? It's so interesting because while the food was up, I had nothing else in my life. There was no space for anything else, right? So if it was holidays, it was always about when I could eat, how much I ate, and when I can eat more. If it's, and now that the food's aside, I have the opportunity to start being present in life. Who am I aside from the food? And I didn't like that, right? Once the food was down, I had the opportunity to become a monster of a human being and then realize, oh my gosh, not only am I not like other people with my food habits, I'm not like other people with my life habits, and I have to suit up and show up. I came, I saw, I conquered every minute of every day, focusing on my higher power. So we're talking about a program of attraction. Yes, I'm wrapping up. Instead of a program of promotion and attraction, rather than forcing it on people, people are like curious, you know, who is this person, you know? So thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, Shaukia J, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Shaukia from Ohio, S-J-O-U-K-J-E, Shaukia J from Ohio. And I'm grateful to be able to share here. I'm learning so much from just reading this foreword. And what I'm learning is that no matter what the background is, every time I try to find the solution that is in a religion or a medicine or whatever, it doesn't work. I have to go to my higher power. And that doesn't mean that religion or medicine are not working. It just means it doesn't work for me to make that my rules. So I have to completely 100% surrender to my higher power to have a solution. And I can't just put it in some sort of rule. And my brain constantly tries to find rules. If I just am this or that, then I'll be happy, then I'll be thin, then I'll have the answer. And it just doesn't work for me. So I heard it earlier in this call, somebody was talking about, you know, I have to ask for help. And that is exactly what I need to do, is ask God in and ask for help. Because if I try to rely on some external power that is in some sort of institution, then it may ruin me because I'm not really surrendering. I'm just trying to make rules out of my life. So going back to my higher power over and over again every single day is what I need to do, and asking for help, being admitting that I'm powerless, and that there is one that has all the power, and that is my higher power. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Shakya. All right, so it's Sanflaz. I know I totally got that one wrong, but please go ahead. I got the first initial of your last name correct, though. Please go ahead.
This is Francois C. from Montreal in Quebec.
Francois.
And I'll spell that for you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Francoise.
Yeah, Mr. F. Sorry about that, but please go ahead.
And this, it's a difficult name, I know it. Don't worry about it. So I have to say, I love the thing on self-reliance, what's coming up today, because for me, the way that I was brought up was that you had to rely on yourself, that if you were not independent, if you weren't successful, you were nobody. So I was just sort of brought up on self-reliance. And even though we were affiliated with a church growing up, but it was never a big part of my life. And I never believed in the power of a higher power, even though I always knew there was one there. I look at today where self-reliance has brought me, and I look at it today that I bought into that lie that I had to do everything by myself all of the time. And the biggest struggle that I've had in recovery is turning to a higher power all the time, because my default is, all about me. My default is if I can't do it, nobody else can do it. And very slowly, I'm starting to turn things over more and more to a higher power, and to realize that I'm not alone out there. But I think the one of the things that's helped me the most is the amount of recovery on these vision meetings. It just blows me away to hear that every day people talking about their recovery, working with their higher power, not against their higher power, being not afraid to ask for help. Because for me, to ask for help, even if it was to a higher power, it was sort of the wrong thing to do because of where my headspace was. So today, I'm living a completely, totally different life than I ever thought I would be. I plan my whole day around my program, where before I used to plan my program around my day. Like, oh, I think I can fit in something here, or, and now it's totally, totally different. And I feel really blessed. I'm feeling, I love being part of the vision for you. I can't imagine a life without starting my day with this meeting in the morning. And I'm grateful to everybody that shares. I don't share regularly. I'm happier listening, but I figure I have to pass on as well. So anyway, with that, I will pass, and thank you all for being there.
Thank you so much, Francois. Appreciate your share. We have time, 2 minutes, for one last share. Who would like to take us out? Anyone? Rapidly becoming about a minute and a half.
This is Beverly T. from Georgia.
Go ahead, Beverly.
The word that struck me this morning was persistent, and I looked it up in the dictionary, and there are thousands of words to represent that. It's tenacious, persevering, continuing, constant, resolute, purposeful, dogged, single-minded, tireless, indefatigable, pertinacious, patient, diligently, assiduously. And I could go on and on and on. But what this led me to think about was the poem from Francis Thompson, The Hound of Heaven. that no matter where I am, where I go, what I do, God is pursuing me persistently, wants to be there for me, wants to help me in all things, is relentless, is purposeful, is persistent, and is always there. Thank you for letting me share it today.
Thank you, Beverly. Okay, on that perfect timing, we're going to wrap up our meeting. And thank you, everyone, who shared. Thank you to Team Tuesday for all your service. Please join us for another awesome second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing of this meeting. The share ID for today, Tuesday, March 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 18,683. That's 18683. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Dara L., will you please take us out?
Yeah, great. Thanks. I'm Dara L. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.